comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Once again, and welcome to the Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums, healers, and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing the plight of Bigfoot. So if you're interested in this subject, or Sasquatch, however you would like to call it, and if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. Do join in with a question or a comment about it. It's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And any international callers, I'm afraid it's not toll-free, but it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, our CDs, maybe you'd like to book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirit people called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, actually 1723 when he passed. And now he's come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. So, and I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. And without further ado, I'm going to hand you straight back to Sylvie, and she's going to explain a little bit more about the process or stuff to do with what's going to happen. Okay, all right, thanks.
Yes, all Mick has to do now is to just subdue his mind. He takes a drink of water, subdues his mind for a few seconds, and then is able to go into the trance state quite quickly now after all of these years. Anyway, Gregory, who will be coming through very shortly, is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that will benefit us to move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, hopefully. Basically, they're trying to help us to understand the nature of our existence, coming from the spirit world's perspective and their situation of hindsight and obviously the observational point that they are at the moment. You know, I always think it's a bit like watching goldfish in a goldfish bowl, really, and or in a tank, you know, that you can see what's around the corner, you can see where they've been, what's going to happen. And hopefully we'll help each other to save our world from the negative spiral that we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. This means there's no room for errors because interpretation isn't a part of what happens. It's not words and thoughts taken from Mick's mind. It's actually a complete personality of somebody else. So anyway, as Mick said, if you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And once again, actually, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, don't forget the number in the US is 877-876-5227. Canada 888-815-9756, and international callers isn't toll free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. Okay, so that, anyway, like I said, tonight we're going to be talking about Sasquatch, Bigfoot. I think, I'm not sure which interpretation of that I prefer, but anyway, we'll see what Spirit Gregory has to say, and we're going to be learning all about this amazing creature, this being, and find out, I suppose dispel a few myths as we go along as well, hopefully, and find out some wonderful new insights into it. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us now. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, little bird.
Thank you. Well, this is going to be really interesting. I don't quite know where to start, so I think I'm going to leave it up to you to start where you feel that you should, maybe at the beginning.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit of history about the Sasquatch. Obviously, we want to find out as much about this creature as possible.
It's always a good point to start at the beginning.
Okay.
In any life. And it is, my dear friends, that as we look upon the Sasquatch, we have to actually understand who it is we all are, and who all of the beings having a physical human life have come from, and what it is, in fact, through the evolutionary process, that Sasquatch, being that they are slightly related to human state, where they actually fit in the tree of life. Human beings, in a sense, Sasquatch too, have existed for the past 5 million years of Earth physical life, beginning as they did out of Africa, yes, for sure, that is true. However, that is not the whole sum and title of it. Gradually, as humanity continued to multiply and evolve, as humble beings, first of all, it began that certain members of this one initial group divided up. They actually, in a sense, some had the thought and view of wondering just what it was that was outside of the specific place of their homeland in Ethiopia. Now, what you have to understand is that much of this homeland, to begin with, was not as the way it is now, that it is presented now as quite a dry and arid place in many respects, but in actual fact, how it had placed itself in these early times, 5 million years ago, was that there were a great many more trees, and the situation was quite a bit different in terms of the climate and how it presented itself. Human state, or the physical state that you know as human beings now, actually evolved, and the human beings of modern state came out as one of a branch of 5 different branches of these beings, which gradually evolved and mutated in their own way. You must always remember that as each generation is born, there is a slight mutation. This perhaps is more obvious in human beings than in almost any other animal upon the planet, quite simply because the features of human beings change so drastically from one to another, depending upon the genetic sequence which happens to be present. And mutation exists in this way in such great numbers, actually primarily because the genetic base is so drastically different, that has enhanced upon the journey of each tribe as it has evolved and moved and made its march across the land. Each tribe individually scribed within its own genetic hierarchy and its signature of its past life in physical state and how that has been created as a pattern of evolution. Now, gradually, throughout the process of this, there had been, as I say, gradual splits and moves of one particular type or form or another. There were different situations to do with different dwellers. Specifically, we are looking at the whole embodiment of cave dwellers and how they actually came about, which was completely different to the subsequent settings of other human beings and their interactions with other alien life, we'll call it. Other beings who had mutated in a different way, actually who had come from a completely different system to your own genetics.
Solar system.
Or my own genetics, yes, absolutely so. And also a completely different system of mutation. So this, in actual fact, is, it means to say that, first of all, you had the raw material of humanity, which actually evolved gradually upon the Earth's surface, that was born of the Earth, had evolved as a being out of the nurturing and mutation, which evolved over millions of years between different species. Remembering, of course, that in the mutation state of the natural world, you actually have situations and circumstances which mutate one upon another generation, and as perhaps different beings become involved in that mutation through genetic twinning or whatever it is, however that has then an influence upon that mutation, is then becomes the de facto emblem, particularly if that gene is stronger than the one that was present latent within the embodiment of evolution as the process began. So, like, for example, you would note particularly that those beings who were most strongly linked with the patterns of mutation of the most ancient forms of ancestry of humanity actually have ginger hair.
Really? How interesting.
Yes, because that's actually the base part of the mutation of actually to do with beings, shall we say, cave dwellers, who actually originated in the northern European part of the situation. The equation, you have to understand, actually evolves gradually over a period of many thousands of years, and the situation became that different beings moved and searched and foraged the planet at different stages and states. Now, predominantly the cave dwellers, actually had dark orange hair.
And was this something to do, so was this something to do with a specific being from another solar system that made those genes become prominent?
No, actually, that was origination to do with the planet itself, and it was actually caused by the amount of iron which was present and ionized minerals which were present during the early mutation processes.
Now, right, that made that the color hair.
Yes.
How interesting.
And then it became a very strong gene ethic, you see,
yes,
along with blue and green eyes.
Right. That was something to do with the minerals in the Earth as well?
Yes,
so,
originally.
So before that, did we have just brown eyes?
Yes.
Okay, and so it's actually the thing that made the difference then was with the, shall we say, aliens. It's not a very good word, is it?
But, no, my dear friend.
But they were beings from other planets and other dimensions that caused this situation where we all started to look different.
Yes, in part, but it was also to do with the specific places of origination and, shall we say, interactivity to do with how this or that being coexisted within their environment. Now, what actually happened with Sasquatch is that they became another branch which moved away from long before there were cave dwellers. We are looking at this situation period of perhaps, yes, I am told here that this was actually a situation of around 3 million years ago when Sasquatch actually moved away. The bands that were known as that actually moved away from the rest of humanity, and how humanity present day form then evolved was over a series of interactions and interpolations with different beings from other worlds, and this situation then gradually evolved over, as I say, hundreds and thousands of years really, to do with their evolutionary process. And as we know and can see from the time elapse of the whole situation, just in exactly the same way that you would have many different branches of one species, different specific types that you name then individually, and yet they have common ancestral genetic heritage. So you would actually have then all of these different tribes forming, even, shall we say, when it comes to matters of just one particular kind of peoples. We'll say that we're talking here about peoples from the North Americas, or shall we say the aboriginal peoples of the Americas itself. You are looking, in fact, at approximately 1,000 tribes, different tribes of people who have evolved, not just tribes which have their own inherent interest to do with religious or karmic or to do with the way in which they're physically built. We are actually looking here at the differences to do with their environment and how they actually cope with these different environments, which then tend to have an actual physical effect on their appearance as well.
So are you saying that the Sasquatch is sort of the raw material that is a being that was not interfered with, that broke away, that wasn't interfered with by another solar system from beings from somewhere else?
Yes, exactly. So
that's really, that's how we would be if we weren't, we hadn't been, shall we say, genetically...
Yes, yes.
How would you call that?
Well, a part of the genetic material of the rest of the universe. That's the point, really.
Yes.
And I understand, really, importantly, that the situation of the inheritance of the mutation of Sasquatch gradually evolved, as I say, over a period of time. But actually, they also moved and migrated. They went from one place to another place, even to as far afield as Malaysia and certain forms of Sasquatch or different beings actually moved into the Philippines as well as Indonesia. And there are also, of course, others who actually remained in the far frozen north of and the wastes of the Earth planet. Even in the times of intensive cold situations when the Sasquatch actually had to migrate south, this actually then enabled them to actually be in different places. For example, Madagascar was actually due to the situation of beings moving in different directions and having influence upon their own locality. Now, at some times, of course, they interacted vaguely between other human beings, and this is the reason why there has always been stories of local people, tribes people, talking of these ancient beings who actually form a part of their heritage It's not just a situation of whimsical, mystical thinking. It's actually a part of the common bond, if you like, the common evolutionary period and processes of human state from its original form. One of the situations, however, which is most strikingly obvious and different from those of Sasquatch to the present-day human state tends to be the ability of Sasquatch to actually be able to have different forms of experience and create different forms of experience that anyone seeing them would actually, well, perhaps they'd rub their eyes, really, because they can, of course, move from one situation to another. They can shape shift, and also they have the ability to completely disappear. And it's at their own will. It's a change of their vibration that they have mastered. Now, I understand that this may be a situation that some people find difficult to cope with. However, it is that they are much closer to their own spirit divine than human state have yet to become. So all of those who see themselves as ascended, well, they haven't really. Not as far as Sasquatch have enabled their own ancestry and spirit to take greater control of their physical state than any other being upon the planet's surface.
And if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject of Sasquatch, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. Our number to call is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. And you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. Okay, so they can shapeshift. Is this something that we could have done had we not become so materialized and lost our senses and only ended up with the ones that we've got? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Is this something that we would have been able to do, or is this purely because they are who they are and we haven't evolved? Have they evolved, or are they the same as they were?
No, my dear friend. In a sense, they've evolved in their own way, but the point is that they've actually continued to display their own genetics in their own inimitable way, but also they have continued to understand the rationale between physical state and spirit, and their spirit is still very much in control, whereas the human physical state, the spirit isn't in control. So it's like you have a being which is out of control. I suppose that's how you would determine human physical beings and their display of their own state and tolerances on physical earth life.
So you're looking at it as we are spirits, first and foremost, having a physical human existence.
Of course.
And a Sasquatch is a spirit being having a physical existence.
Yes.
In its own right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But they are more in tune with that.
Well, they still exhibit all of those inherent qualities of divine spirit. That's my point, really. That your spirit, in exactly the same way as if you had been an OPAC and you had moved through your life in a very similar way to how Sasquatch now move in through their lives. And the situation had been that at different times of an OPAC's life, they will be either physical or they will decide to morphize their state and character, their physical state, and change their vibration through their love intention, which allows them to become invisible. Quite simply, by changing their vibration or their core energy as a physical state, because spirit, that's what spirit can do. And by being able to create that energy enables that spirit being to take full control of the cell structure of the physical state. So that doesn't mean to say that as an OPAC that you would have died and left your physical body that way as a spirit being. No, not at all. What you would have done is that you would have changed your metabolic rate through the combination of higher energy which exists with your spirit and enabled your spirit to change the energy vibration of your physical core state, your cell structure, in such a way so as to actually make it move into a different vibration and therefore become invisible to others upon the Earth physical dimension.
And we, if anybody's wondering about this, it's the sort of thing that we can tell people in an Akashic reading if they've ever been an OPAC.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, because some people so very obviously are. Others actually try to hide it. But in actual fact, the state of being in the opacity of how you are in that form of enlightenment, if you will, it's something which actually resounds in the greatest hereditary background of the issues of your life state and how you move through that life state in order to become, perhaps to have an effect or to teach or to bring about a cohesive force of existence and understanding for other beings to latch upon and to gravitate to in their own way. Now, with Sasquatch, what they are still able to do is to blend with any given background, a bit like a chameleon or a cuttlefish or something like that, which is actually able to change its molecular state and its density in order to mimic its own surroundings. Sasquatch are actually able to shift and reorganize their cell structures, vibrational field. Don't forget, friend, that everyone has a specific index or density of their vibration. That's why you can see your lover, your next door neighbor, and all of that, because each person's vibration and identity is the same, and therefore you are able to see specific beings. Exactly the same with many of the beings that you see in the physical organized world, each organism representing that aspect of mutation which it has evolved through during its latency of life. How you come into this interactivity with Sasquatch is that gradually they have continued to evolve, but in their own inimitable way, and how that evolution process has marked changes are considerably different because of the mutation pattern has been less chaotic for Sasquatch than it has been for human state due to the differences in human state of their interactivity with their very many sources of mutation which have enabled their facial features and even skin tone and color and all the rest of it to take place. It's just that it's a different variation, and where the variation has not changed with Sasquatch is in their ability to actually allow their spirit to and their spirit consciousness to remain uppermost in and during the physical being's life. So that doesn't mean to say that Sasquatch are venerated within themselves. It doesn't mean to say that they create or view themselves or one another as being superior beings. What in fact it is and how they manifest themselves is that when it is that they wish to animate their physical life, they actually continue to vibrate at that specific location in that way, in order to have that physical life. Once it is that they decide that they're going to bring their physical life to an end and their spirit is going to no longer have a physical presence, then others in the Sasquatch community will be told, because they communicate telepathically and over very long distances. Sasquatch normally will be able to communicate over perhaps a 30 or 40 mile circumference parameter. If you then look at, well, how is it possible for Sasquatch to be able to bring about further communication perhaps to other communities worldwide? Yes, they're able to do that too. And they have a marked improved situation of communication between one another, which is generally why it is that human beings find it so inherently difficult to find them or to meet with them, quite simply because of their animosity. And the complete available state of Sasquatch themselves to understand exactly where human beings are at any one time in their locality, and are, of course, obviously able to counteract this activity, because they don't want to be seen in the main.
Are there, obviously they are slightly different, they must look slightly different in the different areas of the world that they exist.
Yes.
But do they all still have these same qualities? To the same degree, or to greater or lesser degrees?
No, to greater or lesser degrees, I understand. It depends. It has really been a matter of their availability, their continuing growth, perhaps. And yes, it's not to say that Sasquatch suddenly appear one day. It's nothing to do with that. They, in their physical state, actually mate, and in exactly the same way that all other beings of physical life create themselves and mutate from one another's genetics and their pattern of life. It's just that there are very few of them left at this time. They're a bit like, I suppose, the ancient beings of the past, still having some kind of midnight tryst with life.
They must be more in tune with the earth, you know, as we've talked before about, you know, like whales and elephants and various other animals, or lots of animals that are in harmony with the earth. Sasquatch must be very much so.
Yes, absolutely so. It's almost as though you are looking at the, how can I say this, the spiritualization of a great many different beings. The mutation state of, in a sense, the culmination of the Earth's practice to actually be able to create a beautiful being. And it's, in a sense, the best marrying of the beauty of the Earth's mutation and how that has enabled the situation of spirit to actually be enhanced in a physical being. So humanity, of course, as we know, I am a being who has had a physical life, and the situation has been that not at any one time was I, or a part, had I been a part of a Sasquatch. However, I have had the good fortune and the enormous gratitude of understanding how it is that their communication process and their whole being state has actually, in a sense, beautified the possibilities of what can occur with physical human beings, and what the possibilities are of the evolutionary state. So this, in a sense, is how you could view it is possible for human beings to become evolved in their spiritual identity, quite simply, in emulating how Sasquatch themselves have constantly been able to make this present of the prism of their differences of life, if you like, how they are able to interact and change their own velocity through their vibration index to either enable you or one another to see the whole voice of change they're able to emulate.
They could become our teachers, couldn't they? I mean, but would that be possible? Would that be possible? Could we learn from them how to, shall we say, shapeshift or whatever? Is this something that we could learn, or would it be something that could only evolve through being a purer being?
Yes, an interesting point, my friend. I have to say that it is very rare for human beings to be born of such stuff or of such mind where they are not contaminated through the processes of modern human physical life. That doesn't condemn human beings into a state of unreality or denial of their spirit inheritance. Clearly, human beings are intelligent, and as we rightly point out, that the situation, however, appears to be that even in spite of all of that intelligence, human beings still haven't come to the conclusion of the fact of their rape and pillage of the earth and how that's actually going to affect the continuation process of mutations of human state as it exists today.
Yes, well, we're driven from a totally different aspect of ourselves, aren't we?
Yes, that is true.
They're driven, this is what we were saying, you know, they're driven by the connection with their spirit, which is why we try to get everybody to meditate, to do just that thing. So would it be possible for us to shapeshift?
It is possible, yes, of course.
But we're just not likely to do it the way we're going at the moment.
Well, not when one thinks that one is going to be perhaps rescued en masse in 2012 or some other situation is going to actually take precedence over the human physical life. What I'm saying is humanity has to do it themselves, that it is through the teaching of the evolutionary practice of the attainment of at-oneness with the state of purity that is your spirit. This is the way forward for human beings to actually become assimilated in the right energy so as to transform that which is their physical state and their ability to love one another.
It's quite funny, isn't it? Even if we could trap a Sasquatch, which isn't likely, I mean, this is why obviously we've not, why we not really seen them before, is because of the fact that they can shapeshift, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so, and beware of human beings in gorilla suits.
Yes.
Yes, quite so.
Don't forget, everybody, we'd love to hear from you if you'd like to call us with a question about the Sasquatch. It's free phone in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International call is not toll-free, and the number is 001-530-876-3222. So when they do shapeshift, can they move to somewhere else completely, their location, where they are, or do they just become invisible where they are until such time that the danger is gone?
Yes. That generally tends to be the situation, the latter of what you have just said.
Okay.
Tends to be the situation. They don't move away. Why should they? That's where they live. So the point is that they just blend in with the background or wherever it is or however it is they perceive that they can become obscured by their own familiarity with their surroundings. And quite simply, in exactly the same way that you have had interesting situations of how certain beings, particularly nomadics who live in various jungle locations or whatever, that they are actually able to blend with specific points, trees or whatever, because of the different soils that they've spread around on their faces and that kind of thing. Not only that, but the way in which they actually behave enables them to blend with their surroundings in exactly the same way. However, you might say, oh, well, surely then that's just all that Sasquatch do. They just behave in a specific way, and then they just blend with their surroundings. No, that's not actually the point. What they do, what Sasquatch are able to do, is actually change their core vibration. That is, their spirit and how it is emanating through their self-structure. What you see of the self-structure in the organism that is before you is actually made illuminate by their spirit. So it means to say that their spirit has much greater control over their physical density and properties because they are able to alter that specific state. It's no longer a part which is, for example, it's a bit like having a piece of clay which is then molded back into the fabric of the physical world. Now, you would say that that would be the behavior of human beings who, in their original aboriginal states, are able to blend with their surroundings and become a part of it temporarily, even though actually physically they're still there and breathing, and they're still there able to feel the surroundings. The situation with Sasquatch is not dissimilar to this, except for the fact that they actually alter their vibrational state so that their physical being disappears from your view of your intention. But that is actually because human beings generally only align themselves with a specific vibration. So it means to say that actually what you're seeing is in part what you are expecting to see, because that's a learnt behavior, and it's a learnt situation, simulation, if you like, of your vibration. If you were not practiced at understanding that that was what you were going to see, you would maybe see something else, which is exactly why it is that if you have a strange a person from another land who then comes to a certain place and says, oh yes, I can see this or that vibration in this place. Specifically, the people local to that area may not have been familiar with it because they are always there, and that what they have seen has been something which has perhaps moved away from their vibration, or that they have moved away from the vibration of it. And so the situation, the sequence of events, is not necessarily that it will always be depicted, quite simply because human beings tend to be positively reactive only at the things they want to see.
Okay, so but would this be, would you have a better chance of seeing them if you were more in touch with your spiritual higher self?
Yes.
You would have a better
chance. In a word, yes. That's what I'm talking about, really. In other words, if you have a very great loving vibration within self, and that is something of a selfless disposition that naturally occurs within your vibration, or that has become a part of your core essence, then you are going to have a much greater possibility of encountering and being with Sasquatch beings, quite simply because they understand your vibration. They can see your spirit. So that's something which is the first animate object which they interact with, is your spirit. It's exactly the same way, my dear friends, as those beings who are now presently dolphin or porpoise or whale. They too have a specific gravity. I'm not saying that they become invisible. Clearly they do not. Otherwise, they would actually move out of the way of the whaling ships which come to take their lives, and they would not actually dwell within that situation or setting. Sadly, it has become for them that they struggle with their physical life and oftentimes are at the default situation of the physical earth. The naked nature presents itself in physical state, and that becomes something of a supplement to their life, so that what I'm saying is that they then cease to actually take administer of their own spiritual identity and hierarchy. I'm not saying that Sasquatch regard themselves in any higher state than human beings, but clearly there is animosity there between one another, quite simply because they are have become of quite a different vibration to human state. So they can feel actually when a human being is within 30 miles of them.
Really?
Yes.
Have they ever befriended a human being?
Oh yes, absolutely so.
Oh really?
Oh yes, yes. Absolutely so. Certain specific groups, Algonquian peoples, there have been peoples of different tribes, native tribes of both South and North America, groups of beings in Tibet and the Himalayas, in many different countries, have displayed the same reverence of certain specific natures of being and have actually been driven by their beauty and their well-being, their countenance, if you like, their vibration has been something which has left them breathless. And in this respect, holding that respect and that empathy is something which then has changed and allowed to alter their own inner vibration of will themselves. This has enabled those in human state sometimes to meet with them, yes, or to be in their presence. So why is it then that human beings have never found one? Not even the bones of one. Quite simply because they actually are aware, fully aware of when they're going to pass, and they come and meet at that time, and the others who are still living gather around the being who is to pass and dig a large hole for it. And they bury it. And they bury it face down, so that only it's upside down, you see.
Like a pencil going into the ground.
Yes, that's right. And what happens is the being itself actually then changes its vibration once the spirit leaves. And it means that the being actually becomes at one with the earth once again. It leaves generally no trace.
So it's head first.
Yes.
Hmm. Wow.
The other interesting aspect is really that it's very seldom that Sasquatch would ever be noted to be together with another. Quite simply because they don't need to be in that kind of proximity. Quite simply because their situation and their empathy with one another is of such a high state that they regard that they are very close to one another, even if they are miles apart.
Oh, I see.
They don't have the issues of distance between one another that human beings do. So they don't become forlorn or in states of disarray or emotional fields of disorganization of their life because their mate has gone off somewhere else. They don't actually have that situation of their contact. It's not something that they regard in a negative way because they're still in touch with them, both telepathically and spirit to spirit, of course.
So they don't, become a family group?
No, there is no real need for them to be a family group because each one can quite easily take care of itself. It's not something that they have to specifically learn to be a Sasquatch and elevate themselves, or they don't have to go through this process of learning. It's just a part of the fabric of what they are and who they are. And really, it means that it's a part of the fact that they're actually able to allow this situation because they are spirit first and foremost and are always aware of that aspect. The physical state is a secondary, incidental situation, a temporary mishap, if you like, along their beautiful life of spirit.
Well, obviously next week we're going to be, because we only scratched the surface tonight, haven't we? But, so do they breed? How do they breed? Procreate?
In exactly the same way as human beings.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm just trying to find out where the differences are, you see.
Yes, I understand that.
Where the differences start becoming similarities, okay? Because you were saying that they're not family groups, they don't...
No, exactly so. But really what happens is that at certain times, the female, in a sense, leaves a scent upon and around certain areas. And so males who are actually already in contact with that particular female may well be attracted to be a part of this next situation. It will also be that the spirit of the next being will be with that female and also will visit from time to time the chosen male of that particular mate. Now, this in a sense, in essence, mirrors the situation and indication that happens with human species and how it is that your spirit, before you had a physical existence, was present around your mother and was present around your father. And so does that mean that all spirits have chosen their specific allotted life? No, of course not, because much of that is a situation of judgment or the evolutionary process or to do with the way in which the environment has affected that being. With the Sasquatch, it's quite a different situation scenario, quite simply because the way that they have moved through their evolution is that their spirit is first and foremost. So it is not a situation of illuminating in the physical voyage. That is something which is just a part of their breath of life and how they wish to express themselves at that time.
So do they feed their young the same?
Yes.
Does the mother feed the same as a human being?
Yes, absolutely
sort of thing?
So, because they're part of the evolution of these five species, core species, who actually gradually evolved all that time ago, 5 million years ago.
And what about food?
Their food is that they are by and large vegetarian. Although they will eat occasionally carcasses of other animals once they are passed.
Okay, so this is a good one. You like this? Do they cook it?
No.
I had to ask.
No.
So they're not that fussy, really.
No, they're not.
So do they go and take, is it only if the animal is dead already? Do they ever go and take people's live animals?
No.
Farms? Or
no. No, they do not. They do not take life.
Okay.
Remember that. They do not take life. It's exactly the same as I have said, that if a human being wants to become an enlightened being, they will not eat of flesh.
Okay, but these beings do.
But they don't actually create the passing. They just eat what's left.
Is this something that they would not do if there were more food? What do they eat? Berries?
Berries and nuts and different roots and things like that. In the main, I am saying this in the main, it's not that often that they will actually partake of the meat of something else. And in this respect, it's not that I'm saying that they will eat the whole carcass of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do that. They'll just take a bit, maybe. Maybe not. Very often, we have noted that they have just gone straight past. Or that they've... after all, it's not like they would actually feel the need to bury something or whatever, because they are well aware that it's a part of the natural world in which they live. That's a part of what being a physical being is.
So they would be sharing it with some other creature as being just part of the whole, the law of the nature, as it were.
Part of the natural world. It's part of having that existence. Yes, I understand that.
Is there any creatures that they wouldn't eat? Well, they wouldn't eat us, would they? Or would they?
No, probably not.
Not even if we were dead, they found one.
A human being. I am not aware of stories of or specific interactivities where that has happened.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean to say that it could never be.
Mm.
But there is still the essence and energy behind this of where you are seeing that if another physical being, whatever that is, has passed, does that mean to say that you are going to leave it to rot? Well, for some animals, they would do just that because they are completely vegetarian. But that is the whole reason why would you want to feed sheep to cows? Because they're completely vegetarian. They would not ordinarily eat a sheep. They wouldn't even sniff it.
Okay.
Yes?
Well, there's plenty to talk about next week. That's just thrown up lots more questions for me. And thank you very much, Gregory.
You are more than welcome, my dear friend. Blessings be upon your pathway.
Thank you. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. You can find out more about us and maybe book yourself an Akashic reading. Take a look through our site. It's packed, absolutely packed with information. Anyway, my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.